Grand day. Welcome to your Soul Coaching Oracle Podcast. I'm Hannah Yamaya, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Inspirational Messenger, BG. Together, we're here to guide you on your spiritual journey and provide you with tools you need to live your best life. Make sure to tune in every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 as we discuss hot topics with a spiritual spin. Whether you're new to spirituality or a seasoned pro, we've got something for everyone. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started.
Hey, you guys, this is Hannah Yamaya, your Soul Coaching Oracle, along with Inspirational Messenger BG, and we are your Soul Coaching Oracle podcast show. And today we're talking about the Ouija legend of Erica Alexander's family. So you guys stay tuned for more, because me and Inspirational BG is going to get down and dirty with this episode. So y'all stay tuned.
Thank you for tuning into your Soul Coaching Oracle podcast. Today's commercial advertising is sponsored by Sacred Creations and Healing LLC. Are you looking for spiritual guidance and inspiration? Look no further than Hannah Yamaya's books and more on Sacred Creation and Healing LLC's Facebook. Visit www.facebook.com/sacredcreationshealing/ to find out more. Don't wait, start your spiritual journey today with Sacred Creations and Healing.
All right, you guys, we're back, you guys, and today we're talking about Erica Alexander. Now, in just in case you guys do not know who Erica Alexander is, Erica Rose Alexander was born on November 19, 1968, and she is an American actor, American writer, producer, entrepreneur, and she's an activist known for her role as Pam Tucker on the NBC sitcom The Cosby Show. She also was on the... She was also Maxine Shaw on the Fox sitcom Living Single. She has won numerous awards from her work on Living Single, including the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Actress in the Comedy Series. Her film credits including The Long Walk Home, that was made in 1990, 30 Years of Life, 2001, Deja Vu, 2006, Get Out, 2017, American Refugees, 2021, Earth Mama, 2023, and American Fiction, for which she received Independent Spirit Award for Best Supporting Performance nominated. Now, Erica was born in Winslow, Arizona, and raised in Flagstaff, Arizona until the age of 11, when she and her family moved to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She is one of six kids born to Robert and Sammy Alexander, a school teacher and a children's book author. Alexander graduated from Philadelphia High School for Girls. So she went to an all-girls school, y'all.
Wow.
All-girls school. Okay, so I want to go ahead and start talking about how she was just on The Breakfast Show. Did you watch that, BG?
I did watch that. I found that to be very interesting, the information that she told about coming up with her, things that happened with her father when he was young like that.
Right.
And it was just amazing to me. It was astonishing to know that somebody that little would just stand up and give you healing information and then sit back down and start playing.
Right.
Who does that?
Right.
I mean, wow.
Right. So I do have the video from The Breakfast Show, and I want to share it with you guys. So here we go, y'all. And Auntie Belinda, we're going to go ahead and start this video, and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Belinda, but y'all, it's BG to y'all, Belinda to me, okay? All right.
It's okay. Here
we go. Let me get it together, y'all. Here we go.
Now, both your parents were orphans. How did they meet?
Well, you know, as orphans do in church.
Okay.
You know, their godfather, or I should say, like their godfather, was the evangelist in town. He was the bishop. His name is Bishop W.C. Griffin, and he became the bishop of that northwest half of America. Bishop Blake in L.A. took over for him. I mean, in a way, I'm from church royalty, if you look at it that way. I mean, he was a really heavy dude, but then they were just in the dust bowl of New Mexico. And it was a very Southern Gothic existence. My mother, my grandmother was a witch. She died from witchcraft. My father started to preach and was ordained since he was 6 years of age. They said he was a special child, that he literally would sit on a porch and people would come up, and before he could even walk, he would stand up, do scripture, and then go back to playing.
Wow.
My father, who was prone to exaggeration and, as to say, straight up lying, would say some of these stories, but my mother, who was not, said, no, Erica, it's very true.
Oh, wow.
And they went around in a car, and they would go on reservations or wherever they were called, live in people's garages, and he was a healer. They would bring him in, and what would happen, there would be a few people in the audience at first. They would pitch a tent, and then he would pray, do something, and then everybody would heal. Everybody would hear about a person who was healed, who they knew their whole life had some ailment or sickness.
Wow.
And then the next night, there would be tons of people overflowing, Indian, Mexican, white, black, to see this young healer. That was my dad.
And that's crazy, because your dad got sick at early, 35.
Right.
Wow. Nobody could heal him?
You know, it's funny. He died. They gave him a church in East New York. And he, before he died, I made some peace with him because he wasn't the kindest person. And he said he wished that that God had healed him, and he always wondered why. Sorry. And I wondered too.
I always you said so much that I wanted to, like, first of all, your aunt being a witch.
Yeah. my grandmother. His mother was a witch.
She died from witchcraft.
Well, she would go. Listen, she had a restaurant. You know, black people, we do so many things, catering and all that. So back in the day, you really didn't have a life job. You would do things, and she had a little cafe, you know, a hole in the wall, and she would put dust over the door, so when people came in, the bell would ring, and dust would fall on it.
Oh, no.
Yes, and they called it goofer dust. Well, right across the street was her competitor, and they would have goofer dust, too. So she would go back and forth to down deep south, like, you know,
South
Orleans,
Carolina,
all like, yeah,
Orleans,
deep, yeah, where
yeah.
you're from, you know, and go get stronger and stronger form
for dust.
Well, one time she came back, and she would just leave my father, so he'd just be on the streets. One time she came back, and a Mexican family took him in, and he didn't even remember English. And they begged her to let him stay. Let Roberto stay, please, Roberto. They called him Roberto. Mm-hmm. And she took him. But she came back, and they said she was all twisted up with her head in between her legs, barking like a dog.
Wow.
Ooh, and that voodoo, that root, boy, that, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Coughing up frogs.
And they said that the women in the church went to go get my eventual godfather, which was William Griffith, and he came, saw it. He left 3 days. He went and they fast, and they pray, and then they come back, and then they laid hands on her, and they got her through it. And this is the story now.
Wow.
I'm just telling you. They got her through it, and when she came out of it, he says, "Daughter, the Lord told me to tell you that if you go back, you'll come back in a box." "No, no, Rev. I promise I gave this up. I'm not going to get you." He said, "I'm just telling you what the Lord told me to tell you." And that my father's last memory of his mother is her getting in a car, a red Cadillac. Her boyfriend's name was Red. He would just drive through and take her away. And him begging her, "Please, Mom, don't go, don't go. Don't worry, Robert, I'll be back." And 2 weeks later, they brought her home in a box.
Wow. What do you guys think about that?
That is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, but you find that a lot of people will say a lot of that cannot be true. Yes, it can.
It is true, y'all.
So it looks like the battle line has been drawn
between
Oprah and Cat Williams.
And believe it or not, it can happen.
Because Oprah is now
right.
Especially if you don't know what you're dealing with. First of all, I'm not trying to take over everything. I just start talking. First of all, to me, the studies and stuff that research I've done before now on witchcraft is a religion.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Instead of most of people trying to make it oogie boogie and demonic and all that, it's energy. Everything is energy. If you decide to do something under the witchcraft religion or voodoo, which is really pronounced as vadu, if you decide to do something under that culture, you need to know in depth what you're doing. Because if you don't, you will find out, just like she said, you'll find yourself coming back
to
in
ruin Cap's life after right. he embarrassed and exposed her. As a
and I think what she's talking about is an excellent thing, and a lot of people don't want to dip and dab and even talk about it in their family, but I know it's part of the culture in my family. I said, because who tells you to go outside and pick three different weeds, twist them together, and rub it on a bee sting?
Yep.
Okay? These are the things my mother taught me when we were growing up, how you go and you get certain herbs and you do things. And when she got sick, she got some roots and she put them in some white liquor, and she put some other stuff in them and stirred it up and set it on the shelf, and then she started taking it.
Right.
Okay, but you know, and other people don't think about that, but where do you think a lot of the stuff come from that the physicians and stuff
right.
do?
Right.
It comes from the basic of witchcraft.
Right. And in just in case y'all don't know what gopher dust is, it is a dust to protect protect you from
your home.
Evil eye.
Yeah.
The evil eye.
Yeah.
I use it, you know, just in case you guys don't know, your soul coach Oracle does that dip and dab and witchcraft and all types of voodoo, hoodoo, and all that stuff. One thing
I do too.
One thing about this is I appraise her for that, because not yes. everybody comes out and talk about what they family used to come, you know, where we come from. A lot of black family are slaves. I'm going to say our family in our lineage. Mm-hmm. Your family was a slave, had a slave master. Most of them dibbled and dabbed in witchcraft.
Absolutely. A lot of them didn't know exactly what it was in detail.
Yes.
But as they continued to move forward, they learned
yes.
what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then...
And just like the story... Go ahead.
Y'all, we just about to say the same thing, but go ahead and finish that. Go ahead and say what you was going to say.
No, I was just saying, you know, this is part of your lineage, and a lot of people think it's a shameful thing. It's not.
No.
And just like, you know, in my family,
right.
and when she talked about the different things that the people went through, it reminded me of when my baby brother was born,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was hemorrhaging, and the doctor told my dad he can either save her or he can save the baby. And my dad said, save my wife, I don't know the child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people might think that was cruel, but it wasn't. He didn't know the baby. He didn't know the baby like the mother knew the baby, because it's different when we carry.
Right.
So when he said that, but it reminded me, my brother has been in the church just like her dad ever since he was little.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor saved both of them, but my brother has been in church ever since. He is a ordained minister. He's an evangelist. He's got all of the titles. He's a bishop. He has his own church. But it's just to show you that things back then that happened when she was talking, it's like a connection for me. I really was just in awe about what she was saying. It was like I wanted to know more.
Right. And then the thing is when she said that everybody was warning her grandmother that if she keep, you know, doing what she was
uh-huh.
doing, that she was going to come back in a box. Now, necessarily, it doesn't mean that you're going to be in a box, okay?
No, not everybody.
It doesn't necessarily mean that. Now, let me give you guys some witchcraft nuggets, some knowledge, okay? When it comes to witchcraft, when people say be in a box or put you in a box, it doesn't necessarily mean that you yourself going to be in a box, okay? It's kind of like the threefold karma thing, okay? Witchcraft is karma, okay? When you dibbling and dabbling in witchcraft, you can either get it in a good way or you can get it in a bad way. It's kind of like the bad, and it's kind of like a positive and a negative side to it, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one of the things that I like to tell people, if you don't know what you're working with, don't do it.
Exactly.
Educate yourself.
If you don't do the research, you don't talk to your people, you don't find out what has been done through your ancestral lineage, you better watch yourself.
And not only that, one thing that I like I said before, I admit her because Nobody talks about these things anymore. Nobody talks about witchcraft. Nobody talks about voodoo. Nobody talks about hoodoo. Nobody talks about IFA. You know what I'm saying? Nobody talks about it in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did say something about it as far as Beyonce was concerned.
Yeah.
You know, they feel that that's what she is. But until she admits it herself, you don't know what or who she is other than Beyonce.
I know for a fact Solange is a witch herself. Okay.
Okay.
Solange in the video, I think it's called Cranes in the Sky.
Uh-huh.
She had Florida water in her hand. Beyonce had Florida water in her lemonade. I think it was in one of her from the lemonade album. She had Florida water in one of her songs too, in one of her albums, in one of her videos. But what I can say this, and I actually am a person that has came in a box. Okay. From things that I have did in my journey as a, I wouldn't say I'm a witch. I'm not going to say I'm a witch. I am going to say I'm spiritual. With a magical touch, okay? Everything I touch is gold, okay?
Okay. All right now.
When I say that's what I'm talking about. I have dibbled and dabbled, y'all. Not only do I am a podcast personnel, but Say Creations and Healing, we also does stuff like that for people, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say no names, but I have a best friend, okay? And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to put my dirty laundry on the street because that's what I'm here for. I'm going to let you guys know. And I'm going to be a prime example of being put in a box because I am a prime example of being put in a box, okay? So a couple years ago, okay, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, my best friend, she had went to New Jersey for her daughter's basketball tournament, okay? And she was with this guy, and this guy, I am strong about kids, okay? When it comes to kids, I don't care who kids it is, you don't do malicious things in front of kids. You don't argue in
front
of
kids. Absolutely not.
You don't fight in front of kids. You don't do any of that, okay? Well, we had a group chat or whatever, and we was talking about it, and I found out that it wasn't the first time that he had put his hands on her. So me being the person that I am, and me, I didn't do it out of anger, okay? I waited a couple days. I let my mind set on it. I meditated, and I did put him in a box. I made a doll of him. I used golfer dust on him. I used graveyard dirt from on him. I also had some Thrives. You know what I'm talking about? The powder.
Three. I'm not sure about that one. I was thinking about the graveyard dirt, and I couldn't think of what the other one was you were talking about. I'm familiar with the rest of it.
Yeah, so I put them in a box or whatever, and the box is still actually working. Well, my other best friend had told me because her kid's father is best friends with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said that ever since I put him in a box, she had to take him to the hospital numerous times where he was just throwing up constantly, just constantly. Mm-hmm. And the doctors didn't know what was wrong with him.
Yeah, they don't.
Because of him doing what he did to my best friend in front of my niece, which is my goddaughter. I'll call her my niece and my goddaughter. He was sick from the box, okay? Now, I'm not proud of what I did, but I feel like he deserved it. But at the end of the day, what I did, and I protected myself, but I didn't use enough protection to the point where years later, after I did that, I am dealing with karmic debt.
Uh-huh.
Okay? After I put him in a box and he started going back and forth to the hospital and stuff like that, I literally lost my house 3 years later.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still actually not in a house right now. You get what I'm saying? I feel like because of what I did, I put myself in a box literally, you know what I'm saying, without a box, because I'm in a box in my mind. My cage became a box and it's four walls, and I can't get, sometimes when you're doing stuff like that to people, you put yourself in a box mentally and things start happening to you materialistically, okay? And so what I'm saying here right now is Witchcraft is a dangerous religion.
It can be.
It can be a very dangerous religion. It can be. If you don't do your homework.
Yes.
If you don't do
your homework. You got to do the research. Yes, ma'am.
Now,
you got.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you got to do the research, because what you're speaking on is exactly what a lot of people don't think about. You think about attacking somebody. Mm-hmm. However, you need to know all of the details when you're doing what you're doing, because it can come back on you. Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to ask you, did you seal it, the box, with wax?
I did.
The thing about it, okay, the thing about it is, when you're dipping and dabbing in that and you don't know what it all entails, yes, it will backfire on you. And the thing about it is, as long as you keep it sealed,
it won't backfire.
It's going to keep coming. It's going to keep coming at you, because you are the one that have to keep feeding the energy into that,
into it. Yes,
to make
now.
Sure it holds.
And even though I still feed into the energy and it's still holding the energy, I feel like a lot of times your ancestors like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, this is not what we doing. You get what I'm saying? This is not what you're supposed to do. Now, I remind you, I come from a long line of African American witches, and actually my granddad is Irish, so my mom is African American and Irish. She's mixed with white and black. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about these Irish witches. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So not only did I come from witchcraft, but I come from whatever the Irish people did back in the day. That you know, I'm European and I'm African American, okay?
Yep. I got you. That's in my lineage too. So, but we're also Lumbee, Cherokee, Blackfoot.
Right. And my grandma is African American and Cherokee. You know what I'm saying? Before she married, her last name was Brown.
Okay.
Okay. And one thing I want to tell you guys is, and I think BG can, you know, really, really relate to this, is that if you don't go down your blood lineage and you don't know where you come from, don't dibble and dab.
Don't.
Go to 123, what is it called? 123, the DNA thing, where they tell you where you're from and all that, ancestral.com.
Yeah. I think that's ancestral.com, yeah.
It's another one that's
it's another one that is for the black lineage, but I cannot think of what it is right off the top of my head. Because my daughter was telling me about it. She said she'd have to get somebody like one of my brothers or somebody else, and then do the lineage that way. Mm-hmm. And I told her, if she wants to do it, then do it. I said, because the information that I found was from another relative. That's how I found out that my mother's mother, my mother's father, mm-hmm. was a Lumbee Indian, and my mother's mother was a Cherokee.
Right.
I don't know how that got together, because they were supposed to be at odds with each other, but that's who they were.
Right.
And I think a lot of stuff that they didn't know back then was due to the fact that they were still under slavery. If you really look into it, the actual I can't call the name of it right off the top of my head, but the actual law wasn't signed until 1963. Yeah. So anybody that was born before 1963, when that was signed, as far as I'm concerned, you were a slave.
You were a slave.
And that includes me, because I was born before that was signed in 1963.
You know,
our parents lived in houses like row houses, mm-hmm. which were houses that they had for the slaves.
Yep.
And they constantly would tell you about different things, things not to do. And of course, the thing people's heard, throw salt over your left shoulder.
Right.
And you know, be careful.
You know what, Auntie Belinda?
Be careful how you eat here.
I was talking whenever my mom was telling me, you know, how her father is white and my grandma is black, because her and my grandmother and her father, my grandfather, who died when my mom was 3 years old, my grandma died in 1991. She died a day after my mom's birthday. I was 5 years old when my grandmother died. And my brother was still baking in the oven.
Oh, okay.
So She said when at the time and before 1963, when they, you know, when Martin Luther King was out there and he had a dream and they were walking and they was, you know, all the riots and all that stuff. She said that when it was time for them to pick a side, because my mom had her father's last name, my mom and her mother were separated. She had to be on the white side.
Absolutely. Wherever they put you or you choose, that's where you'll be.
Yes, yeah.
And the thing about it is, now you think about us, where do we choose? Because we have such a mixture of culture in each one of us.
Right.
You know, I know people say, well, I'm going to go back to Africa. You might want to check your roots.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of the foolishness and stuff that people do here is not allowed in Africa, y'all.
Right.
So don't be running over there, because you might get shot
Africa
in the water.
It's definitely a little bit harsher than the United States of America, okay? Especially Congo, okay? I have been to Congo, Africa. I have family members in Congo, Africa. And they're at war right now.
Okay. And see, people think it's so much easier, you know, in those areas than it is here.
Right.
But once you start learning more of your lineage, like, you know, and finding out what the cultures and stuff, what your people did, and I make jokes about it. I said, well, you know, we ought to all be smoking marijuana, because our people were Indians and we smoked peeps pipes. So.
One thing that I do admit about Erica Alexander is Erica Alexander acknowledged the fact that she comes from a family that was church born, but were actually using witchcraft. And you know what? Some churches do use witchcraft in their congregation. Okay.
Yeah. They do, and I don't have time to argue with nobody about nothing.
Right.
but if you get into the parables and different chapters of the Bible, Proverbs is about you getting money.
Yep. Psalms
is about curses and stuff over you. You speak
of
them.
It's a book of spells. Okay.
I said. See, I don't want to get too in depth with that. But like I said, it's about what you do with the knowledge. It's what you do with the energy.
There is a book in the Bible that talks about crystals. I cannot remember.
Okay.
I think it's Ephesians.
I don't know Revelation? If Ephesians has that or not, but it could be. But the thing about it is, we're talking about it, but I always tell people, don't rely on my mind. Look it up. Do the research.
Hold on. While we over here, I'm gonna let BG finish talking, and I'm gonna look it up, because before we go to the next segment of this episode, I'm gonna give y'all some knowledge on the Bible. Okay.
And you'll find a lot of people don't like for you to say different things like that. But I'm going to say what is given to me, because that's the way I grew up. I grew up on the foundation of a holiness church. I said, we grew up, we were out in the country. I said, believe it or not, I grew up where there was no running water. The only water you ran to get was from the well. Okay, so that was really into in-depth culture, because we had outside bathrooms. The house that we lived in, we had wood stoves. I learned how to cook on a wood stove when I was 9. So it's a lot of different things that I tell people. You need to really know who people are, what's their foundation, what's their culture. Find out where they come from, what they are about.
Right.
Because once you start talking to people, and you might say, well, you know, it's witchcraft in my family. The first thing somebody say, oh, you're going to try to work something on me? Why would I work something on you? That's not worth my energy.
Right. All right. So
I don't do anything against anybody as far as what I know, as far as witchcraft and different things. I don't do that, but I will protect myself. So if you send something on me, you better believe I am protected.
Okay.
And it's coming back.
Right.
And how it comes back to you is not always the way you send it.
Facts. Now, I just Googled it, BG. Okay.
Okay.
Can you see it on your screen?
I can see the part about Exodus.
Yes. Okay. Now, let's go into being, let's go into preaching, okay? Because I'm going to say something, I'm going to be honest with you, because a lot of people, whenever you say something about witchcraft, okay, they, especially uh-huh. these Christians and people, they sneer their nose up. Now,
it's okay, they'll be all right.
Exodus is the Old Testament, okay?
Yes.
That's the first Bible that ever hit fucking surface, okay? Right?
Okay.
The Old Testament, which is rich tapestries of stories and teachings, contains several references to crystals. One mention that can be found in the book of Exodus, where the priest's breastplate is described as an adorn to 12 precious stones, and each of them are a part of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
Okay. And one of those...
I remember that, yeah.
One of those stones is a jade, okay?
Okay.
One of those stones is a tourmaline.
Mm-hmm.
Black tourmaline. I could tell you that. Okay. It's okay. A couple stones like amethyst, smoky quartz. Okay. Listen.
Okay.
So if you are saying crystals are bad, they're not a part of the Bible. I just proved my theory that the proof is in the pudding. Okay.
Okay.
Crystals is a part of the
Bible. So, yeah, but like I say, and reiterating, not meaning to sound redundant, it right. is the energy. It is your intent.
Right.
What you plan to do.
Right.
And just as strong as your intent is in sending it, trust me, it comes back just as hard.
Right.
So if you don't know what you're doing, it's best to leave stuff alone. Because when it comes back, like you said, you all the stuff that you've gone through and you still going through.
Right.
And I mean, you know, it's up to you whether or not you decide to turn it loose.
Right.
You know, that would just be up to me. It ain't worth it. I cut it loose. And like you were talking about in the Bible, I've heard so many people say, well, you know, the Lord gives you 70. I said, go back and read Genesis. He gives you 120
years.
Yes,
he does.
I won't.
Oh, I think we lost Inspirational BG. Is you there?
Yeah, because I'm going to wait on my 120.
So
I want that promise. How about that?
There she go. We got her back.
You know, but that's the thing. When you start reading and you start bringing things like this out, people, you blaspheming, you better study and find out what blaspheming is. I never told you that there was not a God. I never told you I didn't believe in God.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what you said. So when you start coming at me, and my brother has stopped several people, he said, when you talk to her, you better know what you're talking about, because she reads and researches all the time.
Right.
So when you start talking about the breastplate and all the stones that are on it, it is also, I can't think of exactly the movie, that was part of, you ever watched The Librarians?
Yes, ma'am. I watch it.
That piece right there that you're talking about in Biblical, it was a part of one of the episodes they had.
You know,
so when you start talking about it, I knew what you were saying.
And The Librarians is a wizardry sorcerer.
Yes, it is.
It was a movie first, and they made it into a series. But you guys,
we're gonna
take a quick break, and we'll be back because I want to give you guys more information on Erica Alexander, the legend of her witchcraft family. And y'all stay tuned because me and BG got some more nuggets to send you guys. Okay, y'all
stay tuned. Absolutely, absolutely. Get buckled in because we coming for the ride.
We is joining in. All right, here we go. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Hey, sup? It's your boy Unleash. You guys looking for a podcast that covers love, relationships, trending issues, and taboo topics for people of color? Tune in to Melanin Vibes, hosted by Nikki. Join the conversation that get insights, advice, and engaging discussions that educate, empower, and entertain. Subscribe now. And be sure to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Melanin Vibes. Vibes, that's VYBEZ. I'll let your boy.
All right, you guys, we're back, and y'all just listened to Melanin Vibes, okay? Y'all go check her out, Melanin Vibes with Miss Nikki, okay? Because she has a great podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts. Y'all go check her out. But
check her out.
So we're back with the witchy legends of Erica's Alexander's family, okay? Now, I want to talk about the early years, and I'm going to talk about her early years. Now, she was asked in the interview about her early years. Now, she was born in the mountains of Arizona. Again, I said that. She lived the first 11 years of her life in a hotel called Strait of Route 66. And her father was a pastor, but I think it's called Evangelist. He was an Evangelist preacher. So
Evangelist.
So he would basically live off of tips from the money that was left after the pastor took his share. Okay. Now, BG, can you tell them what an evangelist? I can't say it, y'all. Excuse my language.
Evangelist.
What is that? Explain to them.
An evangelist is a minister that travels. Right. My brother was an evangelist at one time, and he traveled different places in Africa and I would say, you know, in local, you know, wherever he was called, that's where he went. So that's what basically an evangelist does. Evangelist is more or less what you call a traveling minister.
Basically like a missionary. Well, you know how the missionaries go traveling door to door?
Well, you know, we're all missionaries,
right?
But being an evangelist is more what I call a pulpit setting.
Oh.
But we are all ministers because I have a minister's license. Even though the ministry that I do is not the same as my brother's, there are people that try to compare us, and I snipped that in the bud real quick.
Right.
I said because I travel in areas that my brother doesn't, because my is spiritual.
Right.
His is spiritual, but mine is spiritual to the point where I'm like a spiritual, I'll say, evangelist.
Right.
I'm you know, wherever I'm called to talk, to do, to inspire, that's what I do. His is more on the biblical line. He's more into the Bible and the different cultures and all of that. But me, I'm kind of like a centipede. I've got
you everywhere.
Little fingers in everywhere.
So basically, I am actually a minister, okay? But I am not a biblical minister. I am a spiritual minister. So that makes me an evangelist, right?
An evangelist.
Wow.
It's okay. You get it. It took me a while to.
Listen, I've been messing this world up. God, the Lord, Jesus. So y'all don't take that from me, y'all. Because when I'm telling you, I'm reading from the screen, so it's kind of little for me to see it. Okay.
It's okay.
But now, Erica never went to college herself. Okay. I read that as brilliant as Maxine Shaw on Living Single, Alexander herself never went to college. She said she graduated high school and she kept working because her father passed away, and she needed to help her mother. But her role as Maxine helped her help to inspire other people to pursue law. People like Marilyn Mosby and Mayor Bill DeBellazzolo and Charlene McCrae. So, one of the things that I can say is she is a definitely inspiring person. Just thinking about what she got going on. She never ever been able. She didn't go to college, but she worked hard enough to get herself where she was at. Now, she actually said that she lost her home. She said, it was bad for me. It had been the time after Living Single went off air that she would work and do guest spots. And people would say often, we don't see you as much. Well, we don't see you as much because there are very few parts. And the part that they do get, they're not paying as much. So she wasn't really seen. Everybody wanted her to be Maxine Shaw and not Erica Alexander. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they wanted to characterize her.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how a lot of people lose money.
Yeah. And, and you remember, well, you wasn't in the show, but we actually just talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about how Taraji P. Henson is getting underpaid. You get what I'm saying?
So
they was wanting to pay Maxine Shaw, but not Erica Alexander. How the fuck does that work?
It's because they want her to be stereotyped as that type of character. It's just like, if I'm calling correctly, Terrence, the one that did Hustle and Flow.
Terrence Howard, yes ma'am.
Yeah. He said that in that part, in one part of the movie, they wanted him to slap the woman and beat her up. And he said, no. He said, because if you do that, you will stereotype me as that type of character and it'll be hard for me to get work.
Right.
So he told them they had to redo that part. And, you know, when you say no to them, this is when things start happening, I guess, when they go into the blackballing and all of that. But she didn't want to be Maxine Shaw. She didn't want to be always aggressive and hard and, you know, being a smart mouth and, you know, and looking like she made kind of money, but she was mooching off of her friends, eating in their houses and stuff like that. She didn't want to portray that kind of character.
And I
don't blame her for that.
Even though she lost her home, she didn't want that to define who she was. You know what I'm saying?
So exactly.
When she went through poverty, she said that they were used to dumpster diving, into, you know, big ass trash cans, digging through couches for money. So she actually lived the homeless life, and I can relate to that. You know what I'm saying? Because I actually went from living to hotel to hotel to hotel, and I'm actually living with my family member right now. But the thing is, she was a big star, and then she went from being a big star to living on the streets.
It can happen.
It can happen to anybody.
That's right, to anybody. Just because she doesn't want to be characterized as who they want her to be, then nobody really wants her, and that's not really. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
Basically, because look how she started out. She was a kid in the Cosby Show.
Right.
Okay. But then when her greatness started coming forward and you saw she was really into her character, well, just think how good she was as Maxine Shaw. Give her the opportunity to be great at being something else other than Maxine Shaw.
Now, did y'all know that both of her parents were orphans? Okay. They met one another in the church. Now, she did say this in the video that I played, you know, the audio that I played for you guys. Alexander's mother was a witch, and she died in witchcraft. She died from witchcraft, okay? And her her father started to preach at 6 years old. So this is before he could even walk, he would stand up and preach and then go back to playing. One thing about being a healer, it's not necessarily a hands-on thing. Your words can heal a person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Believe it or not, your smile can heal a person.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you can give them, you can give them a look and smile at them, and it changes their whole day. Mm-hmm. You never know how you could be saving somebody from committing suicide just by smiling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I want to go ahead and re-say whatever Erica just said. Erica said that her grandmother would go deep in the South to get dust to shake on top of people who would enter the restaurant. That she went down on one time, and they said that she was all mangled up with her head in between her legs, barking like a dog.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think that means? What do you think that means, BG? Because I want to hear your...
Well, a lot of times, like I said, people don't believe these things.
Yeah.
But When you dip and dab and you go further and dip and dab into that and you don't actually know all the culture and what can happen to you, yes, ma'am, you can be deformed like that. And people be, oh, no, no, that couldn't happen. Oh, yes, 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 it can happen. It depends on how in depth you go into it. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting a lot of your time, your spirit, your soul into doing it, then these are the results that you right. get back. Because like I said, it comes back on you. Now, I don't know exactly, because she didn't really go into detail other than she kept going and getting stuff and doing stuff when she was told not to.
Right.
Then she kept on until she came back like this.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm thinking either that was something that came back on her because she was told not to go. Mm-hmm.
Or somebody put a hex on her.
Exactly. Because they could have found out she was doing something to somebody else, and but, they decided to do something.
But the golfer dust, the dust that she was using it to protect herself. But if it was dingling on, if it was going on people's head as they enter the restaurant, she don't know who coming in and out her restaurant and what they doing. You know what I'm saying?
Because it was over the dough jam.
It was over the dough jam.
Right. Yeah, so when they come in, it shook off on them.
Yeah, and it could have been anybody that came in and out that restaurant that put a hex on her or a curse on her. That's why she had her head between her legs and barking like a dog. Now, she when they say barking like a dog, it doesn't mean roof, roof, okay? She was coughing, honking, you know
what I mean? Coughing and babbling and,
Now,
Not making sense.
I did notice that she said something about how a reverend told her grandmother, the Lord told me to tell you, if you go back again, you will come back in the box. And she said that she wouldn't go back, but she eventually did 2 weeks later, and they brought her back in a casket. Basically, she was either killed when she went back down south, hung, you know what I'm saying?
Because she didn't go into detail in saying exactly what all happened when her mother went there.
But you got to think about it. It was her grandmother.
Her
grandmother was born in the late 1930s. And I'm thinking that she was because my grandmother was born in 1932. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, that was slavery days. And honestly, the South were in slavery before the North became slavery.
Okay, exactly.
Her grandmother
A lot of people were running from the South to the North.
Yes, because the North the North wasn't that deep into slavery at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So think about what was going on down there. Not saying that, you know, we're still slaves right now in this world right now, and I know people don't want to hear that, but we are still slaves to the society.
Absolutely.
We are slaves to the society right now. But what I'm trying to get to, I'm trying to let you listeners hear is that her grandmother went back down there and maybe did something that she wasn't supposed to do. You're a witch. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and then with the dust and dirt and everything, when you start using stuff like that, you need to know what you're doing too.
Right.
Even if you order something like black salt, create your own black salt.
Right. Quit buying.
That way you know what's in it because I create my own black salt. And I will tell you right now that if you come to my house, you better believe my house is already got black salt around it. And if you come in my house with the wrong intentions, you better believe the black salt is going to make it be revealed to you.
I know that's right. Now, one thing that I did over here in the audio is that y'all know that she played in The Cosby Show as Cousin Pam. Now, Erica Alexander joined a theater company that took her to Paris, where she performed in a play that Camille Cosby ended up seeing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How she got onto The Cosby Show is because of that. So, Camille Cosby, which is, what is her name? Phyllis Rashad.
Uh-huh. Felicia
Rashad,
She
told Bill Cosby that they needed her. And eventually, she went to meet at Bill Cosby's home. And they created a role for Cousin Pam as Erica Alexander Payne. Now, while things seem to have worked out nicely, it wasn't the first time that she tried to get on the hit television show. She said that she had already auditioned several times for The Cosby Show, and they kept saying, oh, well, we'll find a place for you. And and by the way, back in the day, that was the only game in town that was no other place to be but on The Cosby Show. Because, you know, back in the day, The Cosby Show was like the best hit sitcom.
Yes. Sitcom for black people to be watching, because it took out the stigma of low paying black people. It gave you black people that were lawyers and doctors.
Right. So I want to talk about how, you know, her family was in the church and they was religious. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, she said something about church and religion. And they was asking her what do she believe in? She said that she see it as a tool to clear your mind and give you therapy when you need it, but also to give us a place to cry and scream. Now, she said, I see that it's something that can be freeing. It's not for me, not like that. But I believe that no one is right, but there are things that are right with several religions. Now, basically what I'm hearing is that she has her own belief. She's a free spirit. She dibble and dabble. Certain books in the Bible she believe is true. Certain things in the Bible she believe is not true. And I can agree with her, because the only book that I read in the Bible is the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Okay? What's your thoughts?
Now, the thing about as far as religion, I know some people are going to get twisted, but what the hell? Anyway, dealing into the Bible and different cultures and stuff that's going on, you think about the fact that the Bible has been rewritten. It's got punctuation marks and all this different stuff in it that it was not supposed to be that way.
Right.
So the Bible, for me, and this is just me, the Bible says that those who believe, okay? So you want to know what I am? I'm a believer. And being a believer means that anything that I believe, anything that I put my soul intentions into powerfully enough will manifest.
Right.
Okay? Amen. That's why I tell people you have to be careful about what you say, what you do, and what you think. That's where your power is. Your mind is the most powerful thing about you. Right. So if you can visualize it, and you can imagine it, and you can feel it in the depths of your heart, your intentions are that strong, it can happen. Now, a lot of people thinking, oh, well, I can think about money. No, this is not how this works.
Right.
That is not how it works.
Right.
You have to actually do the work, and you have to actually believe. Because half of y'all to say, oh, I believe I'm going to get $1 million. No, the hell you don't. You don't need. You wouldn't even know what would happen if $1 million fell in your lap.
But you know what? I think that believe comes, you know, it's kind of a part of, you know, the Bible, I believe that too. Because there is the universal laws, just like you have the Ten Commandments. And the law of belief is basically kind of like a manifestation thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If you can say it, if you can think it, then you can believe it. But in order to believe, what did the great book of the Bible say? There's the about a work. You know, nothing without work, nothing will be compensated. Like, how was that saying? I can't remember.
Well, it's been redone so many different times. It's been information about what is the information. What if you get the information and you do nothing with it? It's the information I'm thinking that you're looking about. About the works, about the works of your hands. God, any other time I could quote it, but right now in my head it's going in so many different directions.
Right.
But it's the works of your hand is what is supposed to really prosper.
Right.
Because you have the knowledge, and if you don't do anything with it, then all of that is dead.
Right. Yes. There it goes. You know,
if you get all the information and you do nothing with it, it's dead and dormant. Right. You have got to believe enough in you and the God in you that you can do this, because the word tells you that everything you need is where? Within you. So I tell people, I say, you may not like the way that I word it, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you looking for the beast,
right,
I got one.
Right.
I got one. But I believe in the mastery of yourself, because you got a war between the flesh and the spirit all day, every day.
Right.
And this is part of what you have to master. Now, you've got to master this on top of everything else you got to do, because you got to master you so you can be who you need to be out here. So you've got to master yourself enough that when you get in conflict or whatever with somebody, you don't just automatically say, well, damn, I know witchcraft, I'm going to go ahead and do some shit on them. No, wow. You master yourself enough to stay away from that. Wow. You stay away from that. You don't need to just do something because somebody said something to you. Now, I have no problem with you doing witchcraft, voodoo, vodoo, whatever rebuttal you need to do right. when somebody's attacking you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it's all in the belief factor. If you believe that it's okay for you to try to put something on me and you know nothing about me, and let me throw this in here for you males and females that think that you can put voodoo and witchcraft and stuff on somebody and make them yours, you're going to mess around and make something yours and be screaming for God to take it off of you.
Right.
Because you don't even know who the person is that you're dealing with. You need to understand the foundation, just like Erica's talking about the cultures and different things that she grew up in, and how it you could tell how it affected her when she talked about her dad couldn't heal himself.
Right.
Okay. And the thing about it is, it's not a bad thing. It's what you need to understand. And her dad died at what? 33?
32. Oh, no. Was it
33? I think he said it was 33. Uh-huh. But guess what? So did Jesus.
But hold up. And if you put 33... Okay, let's talk about
Jesus
it.
Died. Jesus went on the cross when Jesus was 33. Now, this is according to the parables of the Bible, because mm-hmm. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so according to the parables, he died at 33. Her dad died at 33. My mother died when I was 33, and my daughter was 5. I got my that pom-pom. From you when you said something happened at 5. My mother died when I was 33. My daughter was 5.
My mama was 33 when my grandma died.
Mm-hmm. And so I take it upon myself, and this is just me and my perspective of life lessons learned, that I am to walk a path that is totally different.
Right.
And other people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And once things happen in your life like that, you have to get on that path and you have to walk that path. And so her dad had to walk that path of healing and doing what he needed to do. But don't feel bad or sad for him that he wasn't healed right. on this side.
Right, because he that's was what healed I like on to tell that people. Side. He was healed in the spiritual realm. You get what I'm saying?
There you go.
Now,
there
one thing that made me sad about the whole conversation of her dad is when she said that she had some things that she needed to get, you know, to talk to him about before he died. And they, you know, he wasn't a really good person.
Yeah, he was kind of mean. What? But it's okay. We all can be, because right. I'm kind of mean, too, to hear other people talk about me. I'm mean, too.
Right, but this is what hurt me. I had to walk out the room. I ain't gonna lie. I walked out the room when the audio was playing, went after she said what she said. But she said what hurt her the most is said that I healed all these people, but God couldn't heal me.
Mm-hmm.
That man wasn't ready to go.
It wasn't that God couldn't heal him. That you know, and that's just me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that God couldn't heal him. God did heal him. Yeah. He just didn't heal him. He didn't heal him for the mundane.
The way that he wanted to be healed.
That's right. Yeah. He did not the way he wanted to be healed, not the way she wanted to be healed. That's why I tell people a lot of times when you want to tell somebody, if I want to say, hey, Hannah, I love you. Right. Don't you think I'm just saying that because I have nothing else to do creative with my time? I love people. I really do. Right. I love you with an unconditional love. But when you come to me with your fleshly love, then we got to sit down and have a talk because that's not who I am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So people need to realize that even though there are things that we won't, like he wanted to be here longer, mm-hmm. but his time was up. And who knows, my time might be up soon and you never know. Because I'm going to tell you, in 2022, for a couple of times there, I thought my time was up.
Right.
I was in ICU with Omicron for over a week and a half. Then I turned around and had to have a surgery later that year in October to save my life. Could you imagine? Even though I had said everything that I could think that I could say to my daughter at the time, they rolled me away and told my daughter, this may be the last time you talk to your mother.
And look at you now. You on my podcast.
Yeah, and I'm still here.
You're still here.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I said, but you never know what the Creator has in store.
For you.
So love people unconditionally. Love them when you can.
Right.
I mean, you know, all this physical that people get into, baby, that's not it. This is a spiritual war that we're going through.
Yep. It's not a material war. It's not a, and my thing is, a lot of people don't know is the things that you can't control outside of you, you can control everything inside of you.
Inside of you.
One of the things that I always say is, stop reacting to the things that you cannot control, because it's creating the chaotic mind. Start reacting to the things that you're controlling inside of you, because on your earthly body, it only affects your earthly body. It does not affect your spiritual body.
It doesn't.
But I'm going to take us to a break, and we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this segment. I mean, this episode. We got one more segment, and then y'all stay tuned, because I got more information about Mrs. Erica Alexander with my co-host, Miss M, Inspirational Messenger, BG. This is Hannah
Gamaya. BG in the house.
This is Hannah Gamaya. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Mel. If you're looking to improve your health, other areas of life that needs nourishment beyond food, such as one-on-one coaching, self-care, physical activity, relationships, and so much more, please reach out to us on our website at ichoosemewellness.com and fill out our intake form, and we'll be right back in touch with you. Let's get you scheduled.
Hey, you guys, this is Hannah Yamaya and Mrs. Inspirational Messenger, BG. We are back after these messages. And I know y'all heard it. It's I Chose Me, health and health coach, Melody Anderson. So I hope y'all enjoyed it. Go check her out on Facebook. Go follow her website. Go subscribe to her website and all that stuff. So back to Erica the Great, Erica Alexander the Great, because I follow her on Facebook. I follow her on Instagram. Okay.
All right.
So me and BG was talking about earlier how people will call you something else, but that's not who you are when you get in the business world. You remember remember we was talking about that?
Yeah, when they try to stereotype you, is that the part you're talking about?
Right.
When they try to stereotype you as a character?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's part of what they do.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Yep.
So it's... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wasn't saying nothing. I was listening.
Okay. Basically, faith without works is dead. That's what we were looking for.
Right. Yes, you said it. Yes.
It comes back to me. It takes a while, but it comes back. Yeah. So, I was trying to think of what else, because we had said something in the when we were down that you wanted to bring
about
to the surface.
How people was calling you by your name in school, but when you got into yes, ma'am.
Right. Okay. I got classmates and different ones that tease me. When I was in school, I was Gail. When I got into the corporate world and moved up on levels, I became Belinda.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, you don't never want me to go back to being who Gail was, because she requires too much energy and she is a force.
Mm-hmm.
She is a force to be reckoned with. You know them people that will go ahead and tell you stuff with no filter?
Yes, ma'am.
That's who Gail is.
Mm-hmm.
Belinda gives you a little more filter. But if you push me to that point, I will, as they say, God will lower the hedges. Belinda will let the beast out. Gail will come out. And you don't, You won't like her.
Right. That's like mm-hmm. Hannah and Saquana. My real name is Saquana. People call uh-huh. me Hannah. I'm Hannah Yamaya even in my local town. Okay? Mm-hmm. Only my family and close friends call me Saquana. But everybody knows Saquana is not a wrecking. This is a little big ass train. You don't want to deal with Saquana. Saquana is not the same as Hannah, okay? I mean, mm-hmm. Hannah is a non-tolerant person, but Saquana doesn't take no shit at all. Okay?
Okay. And so that's that extra personality, that beast. When I say I will unleash the beast, yes. That's who that beast is.
And you know what?
And you don't want that.
And we're both air signs. We're both air yeah. signs. BG yeah. is a Aquarius. I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, I'm Aquarius. Yes, yeah, and that's it. And the thing about it is, the sun, moon, and rising, I'm Aquarius, Sagittarius, Aquarius. So you know what that means? When I get hot, it's too fire. It's too air surrounding a fire.
I'm a Gemini, Cancer, Gemini.
Okay, so I'm a Phoenix when I get hot.
Yeah.
So I try to warn people up front. I said, I'm a Phoenix when I get hot. So when I set my boundaries for you and you go past my boundaries, get ready for that Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I mean, when the fire starts coming, it keeps coming. But anyway, we're going to leave that alone.
Yes, ma'am. So I want to talk about how Erica was talking about that her friends was a ripoff. She was asked, was her friends a ripoff? Friends, the movie Friends. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
The show. Y'all don't know if y'all know the show Friends. Okay, it has Jennifer Aniston in it. It's a whole bunch of people, friends. They all roommates in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the white living single, okay? Now, Friends was made after Living Single, okay? It was a rip-off Living Single. They just changed the name. The original name for Friends was called, for Living Single was called My Girls. That was the original name. But it didn't test well, so they came up with other names, like Living Single and Friends were some of the names that were presented. But obviously, they closed one, and the other one went to another show, also produced by the Warner Brothers. So basically, they took Living Single off of air just to put Friends on the air.
Wow! Now, I was not aware of that.
Now, I remind you, Friends is a Caucasian dynamic sitcom. I watch Friends, and I haven't seen a black person in that sitcom ever.
I haven't either.
And Living Single, you've seen white people in Living Single multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know why. Why did they take Living Single off the air when Living Single was one of the popular culture sitcoms for black people? Not just black people, but white people too. I know a lot of white people that watch Living Single.
Mm-hmm.
Was they not getting the ratings for the Warner Brothers? Was they not making enough money, but not enough viewers? Like, I feel like Living Single would still be a hit today because before I came on air, me and my cousin was in there watching Living Single reruns.
Okay. I honestly think, and like I said, this is just my perspective.
Yes, ma'am.
That it's a possibility that Living Single was taken down so that Friends could excel.
Yep.
Think about it. Because majority of the time, I mean, you think about the black programs that were out there, Soul Train, The Cosby Show, Living Single, other black shows that was out there, and you notice how they just faded off.
Faded away.
Because a lot of black people were watching those programs, and the other programs were not getting the ratings and stuff that they felt like they should get. So the only way to keep the get the ratings up was to stop the programs that people were watching.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there was no Soul Train. There was no more Bill Cosby. Right. But if you take the time out, like you said, the reruns are out there.
Yep. BET Plus has it. BET Plus.
Yep.
BT Plus has it. Now, I heard in the video, the audio that I played for you guys back in this episode, that Erica the Great Alexander said that she would love to see a Living Single or be a part of a Living Single reboot. Okay, this is what she said, quote for quote. I think it's great that people nostalgically for things in the past. But for me, I always try to be honest. If my film and television career had been a lot better, I might not have any problems dipping my toes into that water and going to do the Max character. But for me, time is infinite. Okay? And we have little... We have so little time. I think that I would just want to see if I can do other things and see if I can get people as happy for me into different characters in a different way. That's my goal now. Never say never. I enjoyed them, and that would be a reason to I didn't do it. I mean, that wouldn't be a reason I didn't do it. So basically, she's saying if there was, she would. But she just don't want everybody to categorize her or make, you know, how they did her back in the 90s. Everybody wanted Maxine Shaw and not Erica the Great Alexander.
Now, if she goes along with them redoing the thing and putting them back together, to me, I could be wrong, but to me, she's kind of surrendering to what they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I'm not knocking the thing. If that's what she has to do to survive, then do what you need to do to survive, sis.
But don't settle for less.
Yeah, don't settle. You know, put your irons in some other fires and see what else is going on out here.
Right.
Check with 50 Cent. Hell, he's helping people.
He helping Taraji. He can help
you. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and I feel like that, you know, with her, you know, being on the pot on the show with Charmaine the God, that may open up some gigs for her. You know what I'm saying?
It might.
But you know, as her, you know, she is a great film writer. She actually have did film. She actually have produced film. Okay.
Well, at least she's in something else too. Yeah. She got a hand in something. That's what I'm talking about. Keep your hand in something else.
So she was in 2012, she co-starred and co-wrote The Concrete Part, a science fiction graphic novel with then husband Tony Perrier. In 2018, she penned the season 11 of Buffy and the Vampire Slayer comic, Gail Along Fly Buffy, creator Joss Whedon. And she also created and co-wrote, in 2023, the Pont Columbia award-winning Audible true crimes series Finding Tamika. Okay, so she actually are writing, you know, scripts and books. She also has the last film that she also did was actually American fiction called Caroline. Erica Mama, she played in a role called Miss Carmen. In 2022, she played a role named Mary in Wildflyer. In 2021, an American refugee, she played Helen Taylor. In 2029, I See You, she played Lieutenant Mariah Davis. In Get Out, she played Detective Latoya. She was in Get Out. So she has been relevant in, you know, playing roles. From 1986 to 2022. So it's not like, I just feel like she's not getting the acknowledgement that she deserves. Because in her television, she played in 1986 ABC After School Special. She also played in George Washington II, The Forgiving of the Nation. 1989, she played in the Maharabo Rent. I don't know what that is. In 1990, she played in Common Ground as Cassandra Tawan. Law and Order as Doris Caver. She played in The Last Best Year as Amy. The Cosby Show from 1990 to 1992 as Cousin Pam Tucker. 1992 to 1993, she played as Cheryl Carter, Going to the Extreme. Living Single from 1993 to 1998. She has been in a lot of sitcoms, but the last sitcom she was in The Wu-Tang Saga on Fox. She played as Linda Diggs. She played at she played as RZA's mother. If y'all don't know who the Wu-Tang Clan is, but RZA is actually the Wu-Tang Clan comes with Old Dirty Bastard, Method Man, RZA. So Linda Diggs is RZA's mother. Okay. She played in the Run the World show as Barbs, which is a recurring sitcom. It's a cast sitcom. And she also played in the Black Pop Celebrity, The Power of Black Culture. And that actually is a film that she did for her. She's playing as herself. And she also was in Toni Braxton's video, You Make Me High, as Toni Braxton's friend.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
And that was in 1996. So she has a lot of things on her belt right now. She won Grammys. You know what I'm saying? She has won awards. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She was nominated 1, 2, 3. And she also being nominated for that show of American Fiction. The last show that she is on right now. For 2023, she also is pending for nominated for Outstanding Performance by Casting in Motion Pictures. So one thing I can say is, and this is just a little inspiration for anybody that is out there that's trying to pursue their dream like me, okay? Don't give up on your dream.
Never give up.
Because if
never.
This woman can come from a background of witchcraft, being homeless, to her father dying, and she having not been able to go to college because she got to help her mother, and she's one out of six children, and she's this big, this now, like, as even though people are looking at her as Maxine Shaw, that is still a compliment.
Yeah, it is, because they still recognize her as that character.
Not only that, she still get royalty pays for the
single.
So she's not really not like, you know what I'm saying? She's not really, you know, not making enough money, but she's getting what she needs to be. So at the end of the day, if you are an actor, you are a singer, a comedian, whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life, you're trying to read tarot cards, whatever you're trying to do. You want to be a podcast personnel, radio personnel, whatever it is that you are trying to do in your life, don't give up on your dream because somebody else said that you can't do it.
That's right, because a lot of them that's telling you they can't do it, they never tried, so.
Facts. And I am a prime example of someone. My mother wasn't the best mother in the world, okay? She never believed in my dream. She don't believe in me now. She never have. Me and my mother does not have a great relationship, but fixing that relationship has been time consuming. And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't want to work on it. I'm trying.
Yeah.
But if you don't if somebody else don't believe in you, don't let that define who you are.
That's right. Because I was going to say, just because your mother doesn't believe in your dreams doesn't mean that she has to for them to manifest.
Right. Because don't nobody have to believe in you but you. Because don't nobody have to sleep beside you. Don't nobody have to do nothing for you but you. So nobody can take care of you and love you like you do. Whether it's your mama, your daddy, your grandmother. You are the conductor of your life.
Yeah. Nobody's going to love you better than you love yourself. That's what my mother used to tell us all the time.
Fact.
She said, you remember that. Don't nobody love you better than you love yourself.
You love yourself.
So if you allow yourself to be, have other people have you making sacrifices and putting your dreams on hold and doing things, and then you look around and you old and you want, talking about, well, if I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yep.
That was on you.
And you know what? I'm a prime example. I may not have my own home. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to pursue my dreams. You know, I just got hired as a model. So y'all about to see me on the big screen. Okay.
All right. Isn't that wonderful? Congratulations.
Just got auditions to actually work in one of Tyler Perry's sitcoms on BET+. I am going to audition for it tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. So y'all going to see me on BET+, y'all.
All right. Yay.
So listen, if you are someone that needs any inspiration, go subscribe to this podcast, because yes, we talk about hot topics, but we have so much stuff more in store for you guys for your
Absolutely.
Oracle. Next month we have over 7 new guest speakers, and I'm talking about not just American guest speakers, but I got a guest speaker from Germany, Italy. Okay.
All right.
So we got a music artist coming in, you know, as a music artist coming up. I'm going to be interviewing him. We're going to have him on the show. So y'all stay tuned, because your Soul Culture Oracle, Hannah Yamaya, and your Inspirational Messenger, BG, we are going to come with more things, okay? More people, more topics, more episodes. And you're going to hear more of us every Wednesday and Saturday.
All right. And bringing it to you.
And you're going to hear more of me every Monday. I mean, every Tuesdays and every Thursdays. Okay? So, yeah. I want y'all to pay attention, because the morning shows are Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And there's going to be one of those days where BG will be in the morning show as well. So,
you'll be in the house.
Yeah. So, y'all stay tuned. We're going to sign on out of this. Erica Alexander, I love you. I wish that y'all will review the Living Single. Okay.
Yes.
I would love to see you on the TV more. I support you. Okay.
Yes.
I support all black
people. We all should.
Okay. So we're signing out. You know, if there's anything else that you want to say, BG, before we sign out of here, let's go ahead and get this out of here.
All I'd like to say is, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you say, you're always covered by the Creator God.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can do great things. Don't you let nobody tell you that you cannot fulfill your dream, because you can.
Right.
Because we're doing it right now.
Amen.
This is Inspirational Messenger BG, giving it back over to your soul coach and oracle podcast lady of the hour, gonna be a fashion model. Hannah Yamaya. I done already said it. It's out there. It's gonna be, we claiming it.
I already claimed it. Let me tell you, before we end this, I know I said we was out and we were signing off, but y'all, I prayed all night last night. Okay.
All right. That's the thing to do.
And before we podcast, you know, before I had, you know, I had hit her up this morning. I was like, we gotta get this podcast out here, because it's on my mind. It's on my brain. Because when I send her the information about Erica the Great Alexander, we both was like, we gotta talk about it.
Exactly. Yes.
But watching her and listening to her talk, it inspired me. Now, I had watched this video back in November. Okay. It inspired me. So I was sitting down at the table, and I was working on my business, and I was, you know, doing all types of things on my computer. And I told my cousin, I said, I think I'm going to, you know, audition to be a model, or an actress. And, 3 days ago, I ended up getting phone calls from all these agencies, you know.
Wow.
They wanted me
Great.
To audition. So I auditioned for one last this morning. Yesterday morning, I auditioned for one last night. And I got, they basically said that they wanted me to audition again. And I'm not sure. I might be on the Stranger Things, because I'm 36 years old and I don't look 36 years old. I look like a kid.
No. So, all right. She's a little bitty thing.
Yes, so there's going to be some things, Hannah Yamaya, going to be coming out. But I will not, you know, once I get big, the Soul Coach and Oracle and Inspirational BG is coming with me, okay?
All right, look at here.
You're coming with me. So, y'all.
I'm coming.
Yes, ma'am. So, y'all, we will see you guys Saturday. Y'all tune in Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time Zone, because we will be back with more. With your Soul Coach and Oracles, Hannah Yamaya and Inspirational BG. Y'all have a great
night. Absolutely.
Have a great night. Bye, guys.
Have a great one.
Hey, everybody. Coach Neek here at More Time With Me Coaching. Are you feeling like you're just not connected to yourself? wanting to tap more back into who you are, what you used to be, your hopes, dreams, and aspirations, I want you to reach out to me at moretimewithmecoaching.com, or you can reach out to me on Facebook at moretimewithmecoaching. And let's get you tapped back into you and spending more time with you on a daily basis versus just using all your other hats.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's episode of your Soul Culture Oracle podcast. Don't forget to catch us live every Wednesday and Saturday on 7 different podcast platforms. We appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you next time. This is Hannah Yamaya and your inspirational messenger, BG, signing off. Y'all have a blessed day.